Welcome to Smashing the Plateau. We help you get unstuck so you can do what you love and get paid what you're worth. I'm your host, David Schreiner Khan.
When you are the people you serve, it's a completely different ballgame because the language and the conversations are native.
Today on episode 440 of Smashing the Plateau, I'm here with John D'Amato, owner of D'Amato Productions. I'm going to ask John why emotions are key to creating effective images and social media assets, where he is in building consistent, stable revenue in his business, and much more. You can read a description of our discussion, information about John, including links and resources we mentioned in this episode, on our website at smashingtheplateau.com. What would you like to hear on Smashing the Plateau? Email me and let me know. That's david@smashingtheplateau.com. Or click Get in Touch on our website. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. Please share this episode with friends and colleagues to help them smash the plateau. Now let's welcome John D'Amato. John is a branded lifestyle portrait photographer and content creation expert who collaborates with speakers, authors, coaches, and other thought leaders to produce magazine quality images that present them powerfully, purposely, and authentically to their tribes. A former television producer, John has over 18 years of production experience and has been featured as a portrait photographer expert on several NBC Universal daytime talk and reality shows. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, David. I appreciate it.
No, it's a pleasure to have you here. So, John, you have a lot of media production experience, which I think is great. And given the fact that you have these production super skills, what do you see that others don't, especially when it comes to the kinds of people that I described in your introduction, these solopreneur experts, people who are either consider themselves or are considered by their followers as thought leaders?
Right. Well, the main thing that was easily transferable from my previous career in production, producing television segments, is that I am able to extract emotion from people, to understand how to get people comfortable in front of the camera, to see when people are actually holding back. And what I like to do is to leverage that experience in a way that I can create a rapport with my clients in a way that has them break their wall down and let them be in the present moment and not be in their heads, so that they're able to fully present themselves the way that they want to show up in the world. And sometimes it's more difficult than other times, but at the end of the day, that really is one of the biggest pieces. And then as far as the types of images that I produce with clients, the one thing that I really, really focus on is the details of their expressions, the details of their body language, the way that they work, the way that they brainstorm their ideas, those types of activities that are within their lives and their businesses, and they're transferred into the images that they present on social media and on their websites. I make sure that we present them those close-ups, those details, that emotion, that expression, because those are the types of images that will visually punctuate the stories that they share with their audience. So that's really what I'm setting out to do every time I talk to a client and we strategize, every time that I pick up a camera and put them in front of the camera and we get the shots that they need, as well as when we review the photos and figure out which ones make more sense than others. That's always in the back of my mind, the emotion, the feeling, the detail, all of that kind of stuff.
You know, I'm really fascinated by your description because I know that the transmission of emotion and also people's willingness to share their emotion is really what is the driver behind any kind of change or transformation. And if you are a thought leader and you are trying to help your clients transform, which is why they would pay you money, you want to be able to get your clients to express their emotion, and you want to be able to express your emotion to them. So I love that that's the perspective that you are coming at when you try to work with people.
Absolutely. At the end of the day, David, it's about giving my clients the ability to present valuable information that is going to create a resonance with their audience so that it becomes a relationship-based conversation that they're having on social and not transactional, because that's the stuff that people, especially now as social media matures and goes on through all of these, you know, new adaptations to the way that we're developing the way we converse on these platforms. It's important to be yourself, and it's important to present yourself in a way that's going to get people's attention. And the way you do that is by creating relationships. And that's what these images do. And when you have a broad range of emotion that represents, you know, joy all the way to pensiveness, to vulnerability, to, you know, happiness, and all of these things that are in between the shades of gray of the emotional spectrum that we as entrepreneurs live on a daily basis, it's just the way that I've developed my niche and to truly serve the needs of the people that I work with.
Yeah, and I'd love to actually talk a little bit, John, about this issue of emotion and understand what's behind it. What do you think prevents people from their willingness or their ease at sharing their emotion?
Well, from what I've experienced myself and what I've experienced with clients, it revolves around a lot around imposter syndrome. It involves their unwillingness to truly be vulnerable in front of an audience because they are fearful for a myriad reasons. But in my case, it was because I didn't feel like I knew what the hell I was doing. And I had that imposter sense about me for quite a while. Another reason why it's difficult is because just people don't feel comfortable in front of the camera. You know, people don't feel, they focus too much on themselves and they focus too much on what they perceive as their physical flaws. And that's all they can stare at. And that's when I have to kind of put on some tough love. And I have to point out to them that the way that you see yourself is not necessarily the way that your audience sees you. And more importantly, you are providing them the ability to get past the hurdles that are holding them back in their lives. Do you think that they give a crap about what you look like? They don't. I know I don't. The people that have helped me along my path, I could care less what they look like. In fact, a lot of people, I don't know what they look like because it's just audio or I'm reading books and I never care to look it up. And I spend a lot of time breaking that down to some people who really have issues because it is so important to get past that hurdle so you can help your audience get past their hurdles with whatever your particular expertise is. So it's a process. It's a process that starts the moment that they call me all the way till the moment that I deliver those images to their desktop.
Yeah, no, I can certainly relate that it's definitely a process. And for any of us who are on a stage, even somebody like me who's a podcaster, I'm on a stage where people don't see me, but they hear me. And I can tell you, the thoughts that went through my mind when I released that first episode was, oh my God, people are actually going to hear my voice. They're going to hear what I sound like. They're going to hear all the things that I don't want them to hear. And
you're right.
And you're right. It's really about if you want to be able to help your audience, you got to get past that and just be yourself.
I mean, and what better example to set for your audience and for which will be your potential clients, which are your potential clients, than to actually smash your own plateau, smash your own hangups about yourself, and then talk about how you did that. I mean, it all makes sense because at the end of the day, I work with people that walk their walk and talk their talk. I don't want just people who put things out there in very broad, you know, utopian way to live, but they don't actually follow their own, you know, they don't follow their own advice. They don't follow their own expertise. So it's definitely something important to me that
right.
people do that.
So what's an example or a story of somebody that you know who may have been reluctant to share emotion in front of the camera, that when that person did it, the results were unexpected and superb?
Most of the people I've worked with. But actually, the best example would be the very first person that I worked with who inspired me to create this branded lifestyle portrait niche in the first place. Her name is Pia. She is a personal branding expert. She was putting out a book, and she contacted me and asked to create an entire social media presence because she barely posted on social, had no idea how to do it, had no image assets whatsoever, and just basically said, my book publisher called me, said I need a social media presence, and go. So that's when I kind of figured out what I'm doing now. But the issue with her is that she had a huge hesitation to be in front of the camera. And ironically, one of the most photogenic, you know, people that I've shot, and she just absolutely hated the camera, the whole concept of it. I'm too close. The shots are too tight. My face looks weird. Every expression sucks. But then ultimately what ended up happening was that I leveraged the fact that I had a rapport with her outside of this session. And that was created through many conversations. I photographed her at an event. She saw what I've produced for her in the past with very little effort. So she had the confidence that I could do that. And I leveraged that very heavily. And then I just do what I do when I shoot. My main thing is to have a constant dialogue with a client. And it basically involves me talking a lot of crap and making people laugh, because that's the way that you really break that mental cycle and that those hangups, because it gets you out of your head and into the moment. And once you're in the moment and you're in the room and you're just talking to me, the camera's not as prevalent in your face. You don't notice it as much. And then you get those authentic expressions. So that's what happened. And then one of the shots that we took, it was the cover of her book. And she still uses, and we have shot two added sessions since the original shoot. So I've shot her a couple of times now. And she now is a lot better in front of the camera. She owns it a lot more. She has to still turn it on. It's still not a passion of hers to have a photo shoot, but she respects the process and she appreciates the results.
Yeah. And as someone who knows Pia, she was actually one of the earlier guests on my podcast. I couldn't agree with you more that she's somebody who has a lot to offer her audience. She does great work. And frankly, without knowing the story, I never even would have guessed that Pia was reluctant to be in front of the camera.
She has such amazing energy. She is what she talks about, being a badass. She really is. She owns her expertise and she is a wonderful resource. And without her, I wouldn't have what I'm doing. So, yeah. So I was very happy to be able to reciprocate that by providing her the stuff that she needs.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing that story. And John, I'd love to talk a little bit about your own development of your business, and in particular, a little bit about your revenue model and what you find works well for you, or maybe some of the things that don't work so well, particularly when it comes to building consistent, stable revenue, because it's an area where so many solopreneurs struggle. I'd love to hear a little bit about your story.
Sure. I it's funny you mention that, because the one thing that I've noticed in the 4+ years being a business owner from once I quit my TV job is that this conversation is a constant evolution. It changes, it moves, it's testing, it's trying different things. I have basically what I'm really leveraging right now is social media. I'm leveraging the idea of using social as a way to market myself as the authority branded lifestyle portrait photographer to serve this particular niche of speakers, authors, and coaches. And over the past couple of months, so it's based on a 3-tiered model of portraits. I also have a service that revolves around idea generation. They both are combined for the portrait sessions, but I offer a one-on-one service for people just as an entry point for them to start working with me to work on their idea generation and content creation. And one of the things that I've been thinking about recently is possibly working in a retainer model or a subscription model for speakers specifically who do a lot of event work. And I'm still toying with that idea. I've actually done some research, had some calls with some speakers, and just really trying to figure things out. But the bread and butter right now is the Branded Lifestyle Portrait Packages, a three-tiered system, and it's kind of a one-off type scenario where we give them a huge pile of images right up front, and then they can replenish themselves after a couple of months.
Yeah, I would imagine that people that are on the speaking and event circuit need a constant supply of image material, particularly if they're in the content creation business as well.
And the other thing about that, within the conversations I've had in throughout the past couple of weeks, it's not even just that they need the content to promote themselves on social. It's also that depending on the types of rooms that speakers work, that helps raise or lower their rates. I had no idea that that was a part of the situation, but in reality, these speakers are more interested in getting shots, especially once they're past the entry level and they're more middling or getting towards a higher rate and bigger projects to work on. They want bigger rooms and they don't want those small workshops anymore. They want to be seen in front of hundreds of people because that's going to help drive up their rates. So that's something that I want to eventually figure out and tap into in order to provide the service that these speakers need in particular.
Right. And also from the speaker's perspective, having one trusted resource who is available on an ongoing basis to support that growth, I would think would be a quite good fit for a recurring revenue model.
Absolutely. And in addition to this conversation, I'm also working on, speaking of, you know, revenue model, another recurring revenue model that I'm starting to dip my toe in is the educational component of my business, which I am putting on a workshop with a Dutch photographer colleague of mine. And what we're going to be doing with that is educating photographers on how to present themselves authentically and powerfully online. What that's going to eventually grow into, it'll be a series of workshops, but the day-to-day, we're looking into creating a community and we're looking to do a subscription model for that. So that is a completely new area for me, but it's something that I'm very excited about because it's definitely something that really doesn't exist in my space, my photography space.
Interesting.
And yeah. Yeah, it's something that we're still putting together. The workshop itself is ready to rock and roll. It's more about how we're going to then put together the next steps. How are we going to promote this? How are we going to find the right people, get the right visibility in front of the right sets of eyeballs? And then once that happens, to create the content model that we're going to use over and over again and all of that stuff. But it's a very exciting project because I, you know, it's one thing to serve a really awesome group of folks, which speakers are to me. I find them very inspiring. And it's because of a lot of speakers in my life that helped me get past a lot of the demons that I was holding within myself, especially when I started my business. But when you are the people you serve, it's a completely different ballgame because the language and the conversations are native rather than me learning and understanding how people within that space communicate. Now I am that person and I know it by default. So it's an exciting opportunity and we're really looking forward to it.
Right. Which means you can teach and lead other people who are further behind on their own journey.
That's absolutely correct. That's it. And then the other thing is that by creating this educational model for photographers, I then turn to my speakers, authors, and coaches and say, hey guys, I'm one of you. I'm on stages too. I'm in the throes of writing a book. I'm working on this. I'm working on that. I know exactly what you're going through because I now am going through it specifically myself. So it gives me that added insight and that added value that I can share because it's now a direct experience rather than me telling you what you need or me reciting what I've heard that you need.
Yeah.
So I feel that they both really complement each other very well, both sides of that coin.
Very much so. We've had a number of guests on Smashing the Plateau who have built membership, subscription, and community models that help others learn what they've learned. It's a great model.
Yeah, it is. You know, and the thing that we really want to stress is the fact that we don't want to just hand off a bunch of action sheets and a bunch of stale ideas. It's we want to get our hands dirty, and we're really going to figure out a way in order to truly provide value, because I am definitely of the belief that there is no competition once you present yourself authentically to yourself and your own experiences. And I think that that's something that a lot of photographers need to get over. That's the first hurdle that we have to get over. And yeah, so it's exciting.
Yeah, so sort of along the same lines, John, I wondered if you could talk a little bit about personal development. And in particular, I'm wondering how investing in your own personal development, how important you have found that to be for your success.
It is the reason why I'm still living and breathing talking to you, because it started for me. My personal development journey began a little over 3 years ago. I was about a year into my business. I was coming out of a very rocky relationship. I had absolutely no business coming in the door, and I was freaking out. And I met a life coach at a networking event who I thought wanted me to take his pictures, but it really was him pitching me on the life coaching school. And I ended up getting involved with that as a test client and meeting a lot of amazing people. And it was extremely enlightening, things that I never really knew about myself. A lot of talk about goals and purpose and meaning and all of this stuff that I never thought about, because I was too busy moving through the momentum of my life day to day, doing the same damn thing every day, not really thinking about the why behind it. And then once that happened, it completely changed my perspective on everything. And then fast forward to last year, I took a certificate course in applied positive psychology. And originally, the reason why I took that class was because I felt that it would be really useful for me to get a little bit of a deeper understanding on what it means to flourish as a human being with, you know, with respect to all aspects of our lives. But what I didn't realize is that this was just a continuation of my own personal development, because I learned so much of where the fear comes from, why are we fearful? And not only that, but you know, what contributes to being joyful and feeling fulfilled inside and continuing those ideas of purpose and meaning that was introduced to me a year or two prior. And it was because of all of that work, it opened me up not only to myself, but it helped me notice that in other people. And it was giving me the ability to qualify people in and out of my life. And that has been absolutely gigantic, because you know, I'm sure you're familiar with people who drain your energy. And I had a lot of that. I had a lot of negative folks, and I was one of them. I was an extremely resentful and angry human being for many, many years of my life. And, you know, getting that stuff out of my life really opened me up to help me narrow and focus my attention on what's important. And what's important is building this business and then building all of the corresponding areas of my life around it in a way so that I can truly show up in the world the way that I want.
Well, John, congratulations on everything that you have figured out and built up until this point. What's coming up in the near future for you?
I think what's coming up next is the continuation of what we discussed earlier, the education model, figuring out how that's going to play out. What does it exactly look like? And then on the other end, working with the speaker's office and coaches, I feel that either that subscription model will come out, or I'm going to further develop in a way that will continue to add value. I just need to do a little bit more research and listen to my people and tell and let me hear what they have to say. And then down the road, a book. I want to write a book, and I'm not quite sure when that process is going to start, but I think that once these elements of my business are much more clear, much more focused and running, that's when that'll happen.
Do you have a free gift that you'd like to offer our audience?
I do. I actually have two, and I don't mind emailing them both. I have the first gift is the ultimate guide to making sure your next portrait shoot does not suck. So there's some tips in there on how to prepare for your portrait session, how to qualify your photographer before you hire them, how to prepare all of the props and wardrobe, all that fun stuff. So that stuff's in that one. And then the other guide I have is the Idea Nugget Inspiration Guide, which basically breaks down some of my posts, the why behind it, how the images visually punctuate the story that I share, all of that kind of stuff, just to give people insight, a deeper insight into how to create truly authentic content for social.
Okay. And if someone wants to access those or go deeper with anything you've shared today or learn more, where would they go?
They can go to two places. One, you go to my website. Right on the homepage, you can sign up for my newsletter and that will give you the gift. And then I will email you the second one if you email me. Or you could just message me on Instagram at D'Amato Photo. And we can start talking there and I can send you all the stuff that you need.
Okay, great. And your website is?
JohnD'Amato.com.
Sounds good. John, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau, sharing your insights. My guest today has been John D'Amato, owner and photographer of D'Amato Productions. Thank you again, John, for joining us.
Thank you again for having me, David.
When you visit the Smashing the Plateau website at smashingtheplateau.com, you'll find a summary of each episode along with the links we mention on the show. Today, we discussed why emotions are key to creating effective images and social media assets, and how John is building consistent, stable revenue in his business. What would you like to hear on Smashing the Plateau? Email me and let me know. That's david@smashingtheplateau.com. Or click Get in Touch on our website. Please share this episode with friends and colleagues to help them smash the plateau. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. I'll see you on our next episode.